But also on tonight, we have a very interesting discussion. And introducing my guest is Dr. Klaus Wiesvedel. Doctor, welcome. Thank you for joining us tonight.
It's an absolute pleasure. Mm-hmm. And good evening to you and all your listeners.
Doctor, our discussion for tonight is a very interesting one, starting off with that, because we've been taking you off from Cape Windhoek Fertility Clinic. So our discussion will be a little bit in a niche discussion, looking at some of the aspects that Cape Windhoek Fertility Clinic has or Solo specializes in. One of them, Doctor, is IVF or ICSI. Doctor, what are these? Or can I first ask, Doctor, can you just, you know, sort of like explain a little bit about yourself and then we get into that general discussion?
Well, I don't know what to talk about myself, but I'm one of the directors of the Cape Windhoek Fertility Clinic, and we're also running a clinic in Cape Town, uh-huh. run a clinic in Johannesburg. Uh-huh. We were running a clinic in Nairobi in Kenya as well, uh-huh. which is now running on its own. And so we are Southern Africa and Eastern Africa specialists, you can say that.
All right. Now, Doctor, starting off with our main discussion for tonight, which is IVF and ICSI. For our listeners, Doctor, what are these two acronyms or these two abbreviations that I'm talking about or mentioning, actually?
Well, you're jumping right into the deep end here, because IVF mm-hmm. is in vitro fertilization. Mm. If you translate that, it means a fertilization in the laboratory, in vitro, in glass. Mm. And what it actually means, we take the act of fertilization out of the body and we do it in the laboratory. Mm. So we take sperm and eggs, put it in the laboratory under the right conditions, mm. and then fertilization can occur and embryo starts growing. Mm. That's the basis of in vitro fertilization. Mm. ICSI is one step further. Mm. What we do there is, if we don't have enough sperm to achieve fertilization, mm. then we can take one single sperm and through a very complicated machinery, inject one single sperm into an egg. Mm. So with men who've got very poor semen quality, mm. we can still achieve fertilization. Mm. And it's a very important tool in our armament, and we use it very often.
Mm. Now, Doctor, so, now in terms of the prevalence element, because some of the discussions has always been, even in the everyday discussions about, you know, men indicating who's the fertile component to a relationship, women sometimes being given that, you know, that stigma element. The prevalence of taking a look at the rate of infertility in Namibia, you know, does something like that exist, Doctor? Is there a prevalence rate or a percentage?
Look, the prevalence of infertility is, strangely enough, all over the world the same. Mm. It's more or less 50% of the population, mm. which is actually a large percentage. Mm. That means 15% of all couples fail to fall pregnant when they want to and seek a gynecologist for help. Mm. And it's the same in Namibia, as in South Africa, as is in Germany and other countries. Mm. If you look at the prevalence in terms of who is, in inverted commas, at fault, mm. then 30% is the male, mm. 30% is female, and the other 40% is mixed causes. Mm. So in 30% is the male, so we usually start with investigating the male first, mm. because it's simple, it's cheap, and it's not painful, mm. usually.
Not usually. We have to say usually. Now, Doctor, if I'm still going to stay on that one aspect, just in terms of the percentages for the prevalence rate. If we had to look at the stigma element, and this is just, you know, slightly explaining that before we head into our next discussion point. In terms of the stigma, where does that usually come from?
Look, there's a big cultural issue there, mm. and in different populations, it's different. Mm. And very often men, they don't feel that they must go to fertility treatment. They send their wives. Mm. They send their wives to the laboratory. They send their wives to the doctor. Mm. Get yourself sorted out. Mm. Because men, they have sex and sex is going all right, so they don't think something could be wrong with you, with them. Mm. But there is very often something wrong with them. Mm. And that stigma and that problem must be overcome. Mm. Because we will not treat a couple without seeing the man or the husband as well. Mm. And that's an absolute condition, because so often we find that women go through treatment after treatment with gynecologists and GPs mm. and traditional healers. And then after years and years of treatment of all different kinds, we find that the husband actually has got no sperm mm-hmm. or very poor sperm quality.
Mm-hmm.
So he's actually the first one who must come.
Mm-hmm.
And then we look at the wife.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, then heading into sort of, you know, in terms of like the clinic itself, that's now with Cape Ventoux Fertility Clinic. How long has the clinic been operational in Namibia? Because the network sounds impressive. If people go like, wow, Cape Town, wow, you know, Kenya as well. If you're here in Namibia, how long?
Our team, there's the lady who's part of the team, the embryologist, is with us here. We started here in end of 2013. And we had the first IVF pregnancy in Namibia at the end of 2013. Of course, that child is already now almost 10 years old or 9 years old.
Yeah.
And then we had more and more success, and the clinic got bigger and bigger.
Mm-hmm.
And people noticed they didn't have to go to Cape Town anymore. They didn't have to go to Johannesburg anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People from Angola noticed they didn't have to go to Brazil mm-hmm. or to Portugal, so they come down to Windhoek.
Mm-hmm.
So it has changed over the years, and we've become busier and busier over the years.
Mm-hmm. And now, with that thing, Doctor, although you mentioned the first pregnancy already, the, you know, if that element, if you have to look at the couples, was there an element of them, you know, having to try and convince them in terms of the procedure itself, you know, going through the process of visit of practicing IVF or exploring IVF? How was there some sort of hurdle to get over first in terms of the mental?
No, I think IVF was already well known in Namibia because we were working in Cape Town. We got a large proportion of a patient from Namibia, which is probably their first travel point, going to Cape Town or Johannesburg. And because we noticed there's so many patients coming from Namibia, then we said, why don't we make a clinic in Windhoek, in Namibia itself? And patients actually asked us, why don't you come to Namibia? Initially, we only did a few consultations. We were overwhelmed by the response. And then we jumped into the big investment. And unfortunately, it's very expensive to start a clinic. We jumped into the big investment to start actually an IVF clinic here. And that's how it came about.
All right, right. Doctor, and then taking a look at how many pregnancies to date? Because the first one was 2013. That kid is now.
I must get my piece of paper here because I usually don't count them daily. But we've got 482 pregnancies, three sets of triplets.
Wow.
And lots of twins, which we haven't counted, but there are more than 480, almost 500 pregnancies.
Wow, that's quite pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's like a small village already. Yeah?
It's like a city already.
Yeah.
Now, in taking a look at the treatment, what treatment options can couples look? Because I now have to say couples, some of the guys who still believe it's just a woman's idea, guys, please, it's for the two of you. It's not just a one-man show or one-woman show sometimes. Mm. Doctor, in terms of the treatment, what can the couples look at?
Well, there's not one thing for everybody.
No.
It's like going somewhere and say, how much is a car or something like that. There's treatment, different treatment options for different problems. We start with the simplest is intrauterine insemination. We call it IUI or artificial insemination with husband's sperm, where there's only a minor abnormality in the husband's sperm analysis. And we can do intrauterine insemination at the time of ovulation. And that's relatively successful. One can do it two or three times. And if it's successful, then, of course, everybody's happy. Though we do artificial insemination, then, of course, we do IVF in all its varieties. We do ICSI. We also do sperm donation. We have a sperm bank. We do egg donation. And so we do the whole ambit of fertility treatments here in Windhoek. And everything is done locally.
Exactly. And doctor, just for some of the guys to know, in terms of the sperm bank and the sperm egg donations or the sperm donation egg, how does that work? If you can just walk some of the clients through or some of the listeners through. And guys, please, there's not things that you've watched in a movie. This is serious talk. So you gotta think about it. Doctor, just walk us through that. How does some of those things work?
Let's first talk about sperm donation. There is a group of males who don't have sperm. They might have serious previous infections or they've got hormonal abnormalities and there's just no sperm in their testes. Sometimes we can try to get some sperm by operating on the testes and taking a small piece of tissue out and see whether we can find sperm. An operation which we call TESA, testicular sperm aspiration. But very often there we also don't find anything. So if there's nothing there, if there's nothing we can do, we can do sperm donation. That means you've got a group of young men. They're happy to donate sperm. The sperm gets frozen.
Mm.
The donors get very carefully screened.
Mm.
We check them for all infectious diseases, for HIV, and you name it, the whole works. Mm. I mean, they get really well screened. We make a donor profile, their education, their likes, their hobbies.
Mm.
And these profiles get given to the couple who are looking for a sperm donor.
Mm.
They can then choose a sperm donor of their liking, maybe the same background, cultural background.
Mm.
And then they choose this donor. We have all the straws in store in our the liquid nitrogen tank.
Mm.
So on demand, we can take them out, thaw, and inseminate.
Mm.
Or we use it in IVF.
Yeah.
Can be done as well. A similar process with egg donation as well. Some women, they're getting too mature. They cannot produce eggs anymore.
Mm.
They're menopausal. They cannot produce eggs. But they still want to have a child.
Mm.
And very often the husband never had a child, and there's a woman who's never had a child. She's maybe 45 years old but still want to have a child.
Mm-hmm.
Then we can help them with egg donation.
Mm.
Again, we've got a group of young Namibian women who are prepared to donate their eggs.
Mm.
Now, this is a little bit more complicated because the women have to undergo IVF treatment.
Mm.
Means their ovaries need to be stimulated so they produce eggs, and we have to take the eggs out in our theater.
Mm.
It's a relatively fast procedure, takes about 10 minutes, but we collect those eggs, and then we inseminate those eggs with the husband's sperm.
Mm.
The resultant embryos gets put back in the patient's womb, and then she can fall pregnant. That's actually the highest, the treatment with the highest chance of a pregnancy is egg donation. Because the women who donate the eggs are all very young.
Mm.
They're like 23, 24 years old.
Mm.
And so that treatment we like because we get lots of smiles and hugs and everybody's happy. And, you know.
Exactly, yeah.
And we do it quite often.
Mm-hmm. Doctor, do the ladies then that also donate, do they also go through the same screening process like the gentleman that donates sperm as well?
Yes, the same screening process. Exactly. It's very rigorous.
Mm-hmm.
And also with the ladies, you make a profile where the procedure is anonymous.
Mm.
But still, we make a profile where educational hobbies and all that kind of stuff is written down.
Mm.
So the patient can choose which one they like.
Mm. Exactly. Now, doctor, if we have to take a look at the cheapest treatment, that's now, like you mentioned, there is a shopping list that people can look at, couples. But if they have to look at, I think you mentioned, which is one of the quickest ones.
Artificial insemination.
Was it artificial, yes. Walking through each one of these treatments for couples or for clients, which one would be the cheapest, if you can say that?
Well, the cheapest is artificial insemination.
Mm.
Because there's not much really in a laboratory to do.
Mm.
The only sperms get washed and separated. So in total, with medication, with a medical procedure, with a laboratory procedure, everything together, you look at around 7,000 rand.
All right. And then if we have to look at IVF, still that will include the entire 7,000 cost as well, yeah?
Yeah.
And then how do you also become a fertility or IVF specialist? That's not for people wanting to get into the role of training or becoming in that medical, aspect, doctor.
Sure. That's a little bit complicated.
Yeah.
Now, in Namibia, we don't have any training facilities for reproductive medicine specialists.
Mm.
That's what we call ourselves.
Mm.
It's a fertility specialist.
Yeah.
In South Africa, since about 15 years, we've got training for reproductive medicine specialists.
Mm.
It's an additional training of 4 years on top of being a gynecologist.
All right.
So it's a long time you're in training. Eh? First you do study, then you're an intern. Then you specialize in gynae, and then you do reproductive medicine. So there's many, many years of training before you can call yourself a reproductive medicine specialist.
Mm.
Because that training is not available in Namibia as yet, everybody has to come to Namibia from outside.
Mm.
And our specialists come from South Africa at the moment, and we treat patients here.
Mm.
If the qualification is recognized here, then I can possibly start training reproductive medicine specialists in Namibia, but we're not that far yet.
All right. Doctor, and then if we had to look at becoming one of the specialists, being an embryologist, and our guest as well, who's not going to talk to us, but doctor, in that same sense, what is it, if we start with embryologist, what is it in terms of starting from the beginning part?
Look, I mean, I'm talking not really, I'm not an embryologist, so I cannot really talk well about it, but of course I know a little bit about it. Embryologist is a very dedicated profession. Because they must be extremely accurate, and they must do these procedures repeatedly, and they must do it repeatedly good. To inject sperm into an egg is a highly, highly sophisticated procedure. You're working with a sophisticated machinery, which is hugely expensive, and it takes many years of training. And usually they come from a med tech background, or they can start training nowadays directly as an embryologist. The training usually is between 3 and 4 years, but usually even then they're not quite ready yet. They need another 2 years, 3 years maybe, of doing ICSI repeatedly so that they really become good at it.
Is it close to almost like surgeon's doctor, you know, having that steady hand, that concentration level?
I think so. It's very close to that, that's for sure.
Yeah, because there's some of the discussions I always heard about surgeons especially, is that you need the steady hand element, you need the composure and the concentration that takes place.
I think the most important thing is that you must do it repeatedly well. If, for example, if you get from one egg, like a donor, 15 eggs, 15 times you must inject.
Yeah.
15 times you must do it at your best. 15 times you want to get fertilization. We doctors have it relatively easy. We just ask in the afternoon how many eggs are fertilized. Okay? But there's so much work and dedication behind, which is difficult to describe.
Exactly. And just to make this clear, doctor, this is someone that has to be in a lab every day doing this, right?
That's correct.
All right. I see I get the nod at least.
And usually they're much longer
in
the laboratory or in the theater environment than we doctors are. Because we see patients, we consult and all that. But in a laboratory, it's like ongoing all the time.
I hope there's no, what do they call that syndrome when you have to look at a stare at a screen a lot, like some of the production guys that I know in the media sense, they say they can't see anything. I hope it's not the same thing that you have to suffer from. But then, doctor, if we just head towards sort of like a conclusionary part, just for the listeners also to know, in terms of this, where is Cape Windhoek Fertility Clinic situated here in Windhoek? I know where it is, but it's now, I have to assume that our listeners also don't know.
We got a very nice place. I'm very happy with it because it's discreet. It's a little bit tucked away. Because as we talked earlier about the stigma, and I think patients feel some little bit awkward to go to a hospital where there's a big sign, fertility clinic. We are at Utopia. Utopia is in Nelson Mandela Avenue, number 64. And we are tucked away in the back. So the walking around there doesn't create any suspicion and is quite acceptable to most people who feel that they might be observed or they might be seen. And it works very well. I think most people are very happy. We've got a laboratory there. We've got a theater there, which is an excellent position and excellently equipped. And we are very happy in that environment there.
Exactly. And as you heard there, listeners, you know, discretion is the thing. But well, you don't have to be ashamed, guys. It's we're all here to make children. Well, not all of us. At one stage, yes. Now, doctor, just having a look at when should one consider the freezing of an egg or taking these steps? I mean, we usually, you know, like you mentioned in the beginning, doctor, usually it's after much, you know, treatment, especially on the one side, like the stigma sometimes has now proven. The woman comes in regularly, but unfortunately, it's sometimes also the man. What could you advise in such an element if a couple, if people want to make sure, you know, let's be straightforward, let's understand the scenario. If there is an if there is an option or there is a goal to conceive, when should they consider such an element of coming in to Cape Windhoek, especially to get that treatment or to start with the consultations?
You're talking about egg freezing or generally?
Egg freezing. We can start with the egg freezing and then with the general discussion.
Okay, let me talk about egg freezing first. Because it's very particular and very distinct. Freezing over the last 8-10 years, has become very sophisticated and very successful. We can freeze sperm so successfully, we can freeze embryos very successfully, and we can freeze eggs successfully, and we also can freeze ovarian tissue successfully. That's very important. For example, women have cancer, and they're young, they're 23 or 24 years old. Now they get chemotherapy. Now the chemotherapy usually affects the ovaries very badly. So what we do is, before they start chemotherapy, we take the eggs out. So they preserve their fertility. Men who want to do sterilization, but they want to have that little anchor, then we take the sperm, we freeze it, they can do their vasectomy, and maybe in 3, 4, 5 years' time, they change their mind or they've got a new wife in their life, then we can thaw the sperm, still have a baby. Ovarian tissue freezing is the same. Chemetra was the first in South Africa to do that successfully. And there we take a whole chunk out of the ovary. And that gets frozen, and there are many, many eggs in there. The eggs then get cultured later, and one can achieve, with fertilization and ICSI, we can achieve embryo production. So it's very sophisticated. And there are also women who don't have a partner. Let's say a 32-year-old woman. She's a career woman. She doesn't want to be tied down with the men, but she would like to preserve her fertility because she knows that after year 40, fertility slowly declines. So she says, now I'm 32 or 33 or 35. I want to preserve my fertility. I'm going to have my eggs frozen. So we give her stimulation. We take the eggs out and they get frozen in the laboratory. She comes back 10 years later. She's got the eggs of a young woman. So she's got a chance of falling pregnant of a young woman.
Yeah.
And there, it's actually, that's growing more and more, that women come to have the fertility preserved.
Now, doctor, you mentioned one good thing in terms of the...
Only one good thing.
No, one good thing. No, but I'm taking the first one in terms of the chemotherapy treatment.
Yeah.
Now, just sometimes also just for me to understand, does the chemotherapy sometimes have an impact in degradation of fertility?
Oh, yes, very much so. Especially in a woman. Because chemotherapy affects any fast dividing cells. Because cancer cells are very fast dividing.
Yeah.
But also sperm, for example, also they divide very rapidly because we produce every day millions of sperm. So they divide very fast. So if you get chemotherapy, that sperm production gets blocked.
Yeah.
The same with eggs. Very often women after chemotherapy are menopausal. And so we preserve the fertility by freezing their tissue, either sperm or eggs, before they start with chemotherapy.
All right. Doctor, then just on that note also, doctor, if you still wanted to add something that before we close our discussion, you can still do so before we end.
You asked a very important question just now. When should a couple see help by a fertility specialist? We usually would like the couple first to go to gynecologists. Usually gynecologists do basic investigations. They check for ovulation, they check that the tubes are open, they check that the semen is normal, and that's like the basic stuff. And on that, 60 to 70% of patients can already be diagnosed and seen what the problem is. And then the gynecologist can do some basic treatment. But they should not continue with that basic treatment for longer than 1 year. If after 1 year they're still not pregnant, they must see a fertility specialist because you get another year older and another year older. And fertility decreases every year. And especially if you're end of 30s or early 40s, it decreases very rapidly. So it's important that you don't waste your time by waiting for a miracle, which might occur, but usually doesn't occur. See a specialist as soon as possible.
I hope people don't laugh at me because I'm 37. Well, I'm luckily, I'm not married yet. But in that note, doctor, thank you once again for
Absolute
this discussion.
Pleasure.
It was a very interesting one.
Good.
Well, it also opened up my eyes for my part. But on that note, thank you very much, doctor.
Don't panic.
No, I won't panic.
No, it's at 37. You know, you're not panic. For a man, it's not so bad. For a woman, it's the main thing, the age. Yeah? Okay.
Exactly, doctor. Doctor, and on that note, once again, thank you for coming through.
Okay, pleasure.